seen on Free Speech TV and online on Talker TV. This is the Bill Press Show.
It's 33 minutes after the hour. The Bill Press Show, booming out to you live from our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., and our studio on Capitol Hill. Good to see you today. Imagine this. Imagine a day without water. There's something we take for granted, for sure. But, there's a big story behind it. And there's a big campaign launched yesterday to make us aware of where we get our water and what should be done to maybe maintain those supplies and maybe, I don't know, to get even more of it. Let's find out about it. We wanted to find out about this campaign. Nobody better than the manager of our water utility here in the nation's capital, called DC Water. George Hawkins joins us in studio. Hey, George, good to see you.
Good morning, Bill. Glad to be here.
I thank you for a good glass of DC's best tap water, which I had this morning. I mix my iced tea with DC tap water.
He's not just hamming it up, by the way.
I always brag about the fact he's a big fan
of DC tap water.
That is awesome. We have great, cool tap water ready 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every minute, and we're delighted you use it. It's a wonderful product.
I mean, I keep people, friends of mine, they spend all this money on bottled water.
A thousand times more expensive. It's not as clean. Our water's better. By the way, we do a taste test outside of metro stations, blind taste test against bottled water. More than 60% of the people who take a double blind, so our staff doesn't know which one we're giving and the person taking the test, say that our tap water is better than bottled water. And a straight out blind taste test, and it is 1,000 times less expensive. It is at your tap. If you want to carry it around in a water bottle. We have something called the Tap It campaign, which you can get on your phone, which has more than 300 institutions in D.C. that will refill your water bottle with cool tap water for free. Just have a recycled water, tap it, walk around the city. You'll save money. You'll have better water. It's right at ready all the time.
This is my man.
Yeah, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, right. And we live right here on Capitol Hill, by the way.
Yep, absolutely.
Just a block from here. It's great. Yeah. No, when I go to a restaurant, they always say, you want the sparkling, or you want, I always say, I want Marion Barry's finest.
Absolutely. And we deliver it every, it's a great part of this whole process. The water utilities of the country have been so good at their business, which is what we do, that most people don't think that every morning when they walk in and the water's ready all the time, where it comes from. Mm-hmm. When it comes out of the tap, this vast array of steps that are taken to make sure that water is ready every minute and that it's clean to exacting standard. It is monitored thousands of times to make sure that it's at the ready. We're so good that most people don't even think about that miracle.
No, we do
of
take it.
Drinking water.
No, we take it for granted, for sure.
And then when the water goes down the drain, so we use it for any of the reasons we use water, it goes down the drain and we clean it for you before it goes back to the Potomac. We run the largest recycling system in any place that we exist, which is everywhere, because the water comes out of the system. We clean it, get it ready. We all use it. It goes down the drain. We take it back. We clean it again to exacting standards. It goes right back here. It's all from the Potomac and back to the Potomac. And that's done with a vast system that's out there, and most people don't think about it. And that's our challenge. We've done so well at our job that people take this absolutely precious, essential service for granted. And the challenge, and there's a victory in that we've done well enough. You go travel anywhere in the rest of the world, and providing water is one of the biggest challenges in the day. Often women needing to get water every single day or carry it on their heads, on their backs. It's tremendously difficult. It's often not clean. More children die from waterborne illnesses in the world than all the world wars of the world combined. And here we deliver it. But if our customers don't know who we are, that means they also may not think of the cost it takes to deliver that service.
Well, we talk about, I just got to stop. You said something about children. More children die of waterborne diseases.
Waterborne diseases in the rest of the world. It is a tragedy.
Then all the wars.
All the wars that are occurring now, and it's a terrible statistic. But so many, cholera and malaria, there's so many problems that can be initiated by not having clean water, independent of how much effort is taken day after day after day just to get it.
Right.
And now, here we in this country have it ready 24 hours a day. It's a remarkable accomplishment.
So we talk about infrastructure and the problems with infrastructure in this country. that we're not spending enough just to keep our systems up. And I guess that would include water delivery systems, right? Or water purification systems.
I would say absolutely.
Water treatment plants.
Water treatment plants, both when you prepare it on the drinking water side, take it back and clean it. We call it enriched water at DC Water, but wastewater is sewage. And we'll call it enriched water for a reason I'll come back to. But the startling fact, the American Society of Civil Engineers, we improved in the grade that they gave us for drinking water in the city because we went from a D minus to a D. Now, that is an incredible calamity for an essential service. Yeah. People ask me, how many jobs do you support with your water? And I always say, all of them. You cannot have a certificate of occupancy. You can't get in your building. You cannot have your operation if you don't have drinking water, wastewater, and fire flow to your building. And we do that for every job in this city and every other city. And how many living organisms do you support? I always say all of them. Water is the only element that's essential to every life form as we know it. And we have a system that delivers it that's rated at a D. That's a crisis that threatens a cornerstone of what we've taken for granted in modern civilization in this country.
Is any water ever wasted?
There's a lot of water wasted, and that's one of the attributes of having an older system. When you have older pipes, they leak more. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of more loss in the system before we can deliver it. So in most parts of the country, including D.C., we'll treat 100 million gallons, but only 80 million of that, just by word of example, will actually get to a customer because you have loss along the way. And that comes from having older pipes. The median age of a water main in our fair city, probably the pipes right out in the street here, median age is 79 years, which means half the pipes are older than that.
Yeah.
And we have pipes in
George
this
Washington
city.
Laid some of these pipes.
Actually, not to George Washington, but to Abraham Lincoln. We have pipes in Washington, D.C. that were put in before the Civil War.
Whoa, man.
In our fair city. And we have sewers that are probably older than that. Now, the men and women who did this work way back when.
It's nice to know I'm using the same sewer Abraham Lincoln did.
Whoa. It's sort of an amazing. We do have, and this is the older part of the city.
Yeah, Georgetown.
And, Georgetown, center of the city where the White House is. That's some of our older pipes because that's the oldest part of the city. And we're busily replacing them where we're upgrading the system. But that goes back to this notion of people don't know.
Yeah.
We have to raise rates on people's bills to pay for the simple cost of taking these old systems out and putting new pipes, new pump stations, new technologies, new approaches in the system. And if our customers don't know who we are or what we do, they're not going to want to pay the money necessary to deliver this life-giving resource. And that doesn't surprise me. If you ask someone to pay more for something, my reaction would be, why? Give me a reason that I should invest more of my money into your system.
So what is the overall goal? I mean, you are part of this national campaign to raise awareness, I guess, right, about water delivery, water services. Imagine a day without water. What's the overall goal? At the end of it, what do you want people to be doing or know?
Our overall goal is for people to take stock, at least for a moment, about the incredible essential nature of the service that they're delivered every day, and to think for a moment about the systems that deliver it to them, so that they can also be connected into the value of what we're delivering and the cost.
Wherever they happen to be in this
country,
wherever
they are, because we're everywhere. Yeah. I mean, it's this industry that's fundamental, as I said, to every job and every living organism. And yet most people don't think of it. And if they don't think of us and are not aware of us, they're not going to want to be who invest in it. That's a natural state. It doesn't bother me. That's exactly the way a consumer should be. We don't make our case. Someone shouldn't pay us more. But we are making our case. The value of water is part of the a coalition of people who've come together from the water utility, businesses that rely on water. More water is delivered for the production of energy than is delivered to residential users in the city, in the country. You cannot have power in this country without having water at the ready. As I said, every industry, every job, it's just this incredibly important, essential element, and we need people to realize it so they're willing to invest in it so we can deliver better service for them. This is all to ultimately give good service to our customers.
What about rainwater? Isn't it just wasted because it just runs off and runs into the sewers or the storm pipes or whatever?
Absolutely. Well,
storm drains.
We're in the midst of a huge and fascinating change on that front. For the longest period of time, you're exactly right. All of the systems we have, particularly in cities, was to get rainwater off of city streets as fast as possible into pipes and usually piped right to a river where we're on its merry way, which is not good in by itself because anything that's on the street, all that stuff that's out there, which includes the dog poo from the walk in the morning and all the leaves and oil and grease, everything it's gets all, washed right with it, right into our rivers. But the idea was stormwater is a problem. What we're realizing now is that that's a resource, particularly in parts of the summer, which are parts of the country that are in drought, which is often on all over the country.
Sure.
So now, for example, in Washington, D.C., there are regulations that require all new developments to retain the first 1.2 inches of rainfall. That's a lot of rain on site to be used for good deeds. All the greenery we want to plant on a site, you don't need to use clean, potable drinking water for that. That's what rainwater can be used for. If you design your site in mind of how you would hold it so you have the kind of pavement or structures that will allow rainwater to sink into the ground, we call it green infrastructure. Mm-hmm. We're trying to mimic the natural environment in the built environment to get the benefits of trees and all the green that we can add, which adds so much to our life and quality of life anyways. It also holds that water on site and uses stormwater as a resource. The other advantage is if that rainwater water is being held on site, right outside this building, for example, it doesn't go into our sewers. And in 772 communities in the United States, the sewers that were put in place are called combined sewers, so that the same huge sewer that takes sewage from the building also takes rainwater, which is why they're called combined. But when a lot of rain hits, those sewers fill and overflow. And now, this is a mixture of sewage rainwater into our rivers and sometimes city streets. That's a terrible calamity. DC Water currently is building the largest public works, something you probably didn't know, the largest public works project going on in Washington, D.C., and the biggest since Metro, we're doing right now to solve that problem.
Tell us more about it. We're going to take a quick break and find out about that. Exciting stuff going on. And again, I love the head of this campaign, the title of the campaign, because it really does get you thinking. Imagine a day without water. I bet you can't. 866-55-PRESS. If you have a question or comment anywhere in the country, we'll be right back.
Streaming live video right now at youtube.com/talkertv. That's TAWKRTV. This is The Bill Press Show.
11 minutes before the top of the hour. We're talking water, water, water everywhere. Not a drop to drink, as the old thing goes. There's a lot of great water to drink here in Washington, D.C., thanks to George Hawkins and his team at D.C. Water. They're part of a national campaign launched yesterday to make us more aware of this resource that we depend on so much. And the campaign is Imagine a Day Without Water. You started to tell us about something very exciting going on here with the DC Water in about 3 hours from now.
Yes, today is a great day for DC Water, our industry, and really for the many public agencies that do the work. Because Mayor Bowser and a whole set of dignitaries will be with us down at our Blue Plains Advanced Treatment Facility. It used to be called a wastewater plant. As I mentioned, we call it enriched water at DC Water.
Enriched water, I like that.
And here's why. Because everything that comes to us is a resource if we're smart about how to use it. In ecology, the waste of any one organism is the fuel for another. And we're learning from Mother Nature now, not trying to control it. And what we're kicking off later today is a digester facility that takes all the sludge, all the material that we don't want in the water, we take out at Blue Plains. That's what we do. But it used to be called a waste. And we think of that in that era, it was only a wasted asset because it's full of energy. It's full of nutrients. We would treat it and
dump it off.
And now what we've done, and we're kicking off today, is a digester facility that's turning it into clean, permanent green power. 13 megawatts of total power. That's enough for 16,000 homes, although we'll use all that power on site because the treatment facility is so big. And it's using a technology that has never been used in North America nor anywhere in the world at the scale that we're using it. And we've invested $470 million. This is the ratepayers. This is the people in this room, it's you, Bill, who helped pay for this. It's your facility. This is a public agency. But we had 40 published papers that were done, peer-reviewed, to demonstrate that this technology would work. We field-tested it. We have built it. It is going online today. And it's taking this sludge and turning it into permanent green power, which be done at every plant around the country using this technology.
So you're taking sludge, you're taking waste, and you're converting it into energy, right? And
yes. That's one of the parts of it. And there's another great part, because here you have this sludge. It goes into something called Cambi, which is like a pressure cooker. It cooks it at high temperature and high heat. And when that comes out, the cell walls burst, goes into these huge digesters. They're 7 stories tall, 13 stories wide. These little bugs generate the methane. Methane is then burned right in a jet engine to generate the power. But then the material that comes out afterwards has been sterilized, because at high heat after the bugs, it is clean, and it is now an organic-based fertilizer that we're going to turn into a product. All of that is resources that go back to our benefit, our ratepayers. It's incredibly good for the environment. We're cutting our carbon footprint by a third. This is not reducing the increase or stopping the increase. Yeah. This is reducing our carbon footprint, and we're the largest single power user in Washington, D.C.
Congratulations. Good for D.C. Now, we just have about a minute left. I have to ask you, I'm from California. What do we do about the drought?
The drought is a challenge that we've seen all over the country. It's mainly using water smartly, using it less wastefully, so we use it less for green lawns and areas. It's nice to have when you can do it, but we cut that out. And then every drop is preserved. So stormwater techniques that you hold on site, every bit of water that you can reuse, you do. We start to clean it on site and reuse it on site. You don't need tap water to flush a toilet. You can use water that you've collected off your roof for those sorts of steps. So what is really causing us to do is rethink water from soup to nuts, use every drop wisely, and I think then we'll find we have enough.
People make fun of me still because I believe in the California motto, if it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down. That's still a wise rule, isn't it?
And it's part of the whole ethic of using every bit of water smartly, and that's certainly one of them.
Right. So I'm not such a old hippie after all, right?
We love the idea of folks focusing on water. Imagine it if you didn't have it. And, you know, people say when you don't have water for a minute, it's a calamity. Because what's the toilet? Yeah. What about brushing my teeth, cooking, preparing food for my children?
No.
And that's what we want people to think about.
You go to the tap and you turn it on and nothing there. Then you realize how vital and how important, how wonderful the supply of water is. Imagine a day without water. Hey, George, great half hour. Thank you so much for coming in.
I've been so delighted to be here. Thank you, Bill.
Right, thank you. All right. I'll be right back and tell you what's on the president's schedule on this Wednesday, October 7th.